It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not apologize for calling a murderer an illegal. No, ma'am, Joe Biden did.
You cannot be serious!
I am totally serious. We're going to talk about it in this hour at 888-788-9910. This is, of course, an audio-safe space for cool people where everybody's welcome, whether you agree with me or not.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
That being said, if you're going to apologize for the language used to describe an illegal immigrant who murdered an innocent girl here in America, we should all be able to agree that
Biden sucks.
Does he ever? 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the show. A show that has one rule today and every day. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. The only thing we ever ask is that you don't be a... That is all. Happy Monday, everybody. Good to be back in New York. We had a banner weekend down in Florida. Crazy sold-out shows in Fort Lauderdale and Ponte Vedra. If you came out, this bud's for you. It was a fantastic hang. Signed a lot of books. Signed a lot of boobs. Not even kidding.
Hubba, hubba.
There were some frisky Fox fans in the audience this weekend. But the big news of the day is not that Sharpies work on silicone breasts. The big news is that Fox Across America has some brand spanking new affiliates to get.
Well, we're moving on up.
We're moving on up
to the east side.
We're moving on up
to a deluxe apartment.
Oh, girl, take off the apron, Jenny Failla, as we are going out tonight. Let me give you all of this new magical information and a big, fine shout out, a plus sized shout out. To the fine folks at Cox Media, where the moves we have made, if you want to get into specifics, we're now airing weeknights from 6 to 9 on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. In fact, I hung out with the gang Saturday night in Ponte Vedra, and we had a wild time out there.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, it was a fine way to go through Ponte Vedra on a Saturday night. So a shout-out to the fine folks at 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We are also now, and this is a I'm going to try not to get emotional. But the legends at WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk, 1290 and 95.7, we are now airing there weekdays from 8 to 11 p.m. This is our maiden voyage in the weekday lineup there as well. Of course, the Dayton Corridor, very important to me and my family. Jenny Failla grew up in nearby Wapakoneta, Ohio, home of Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon, if you will, not too far from the Kewpie Hamburger Stand down in Lima. And, of course, if you're down in Dayton, my people, okay, you're eating some Skyline chili, if you're smart, maybe even a little Gold Star. And you're heading down to the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base from time to time to look at all the cool planes. I mean, if you're a guy who loves this country, if you grew up in Levittown, New York, like I did,
freedom!
You are in on the joke, and you love places like Wright-Pat, and you're honored to be on WHIO. So shout out to Nick and the gang. WGAU, 1340, 98.7, Athens News and Weather. Okay, we are there weekdays as well, and that is a big deal. So, again, I'm going to try... To try to hold myself together. I feel like I'm giving an acceptance speech at the Oscars. I'm looking at all these new affiliates and doing a Sally Fields, you know. You like me. You really, really like me.
Wrong.
All right. Well, you agree to air me. You really, really agreed to air me, and I'll take that. And, of course, I would be remiss if Keith and the gang at WDBO in Orlando didn't get a shout-out for clearing us on our new time slot as well. And, of course, Levi May and the KRMG gang moving us up in their lineup as well. So, you know, across the board collectively, Cox Media, just take a bow. Of course, one guy who will not be taking a bow is Joe Biden, who apologized yesterday on the Sunday shows. On the Sunday shows! For giving a speech, it was Thursday night, Biden gave the State of the Union address.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. And one of the seminal moments of the speech, well, you know, I think the story of the speech is that he lived through it. They shot that guy up with a lot of drugs. Like, if you were watching the State of the Union, like, I'm dead serious. Like, they were very lucky they didn't kill that guy. Because he was hopped up on God knows what.
I agree with that.
Okay, I've met Biden in person twice in my life. And he's usually a dragging, like, how are you, Joe? Hawaii. Shoot, I'm supposed to be in Oklahoma. The guy's traditionally a mess.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
But I'm pretty sure Thursday night, either they hopped him up on B12 or he ate some of Commander's dog treats at the White House. You know, the dog that was biting all the Secret Service agents. That's probably why the speech was delayed 20 minutes. Biden bit three Secret Service agents on the way out to the podium. Well, anyway, getting past that. Okay. Joe Biden at the State of the Union Thursday night was forced to acknowledge the death of Lake and Riley. Something that, you know, really hits close to home if you're listening. Down in Athens, Georgia, you know all too well about this story right there on your campus. If you're listening on WGAU at 1340 or 98.7, you know all about Lake and Riley. Unfortunately, the president does not. And when he was finally forced to say her name, as Marjorie Taylor Greene demanded, Biden referred to her as Lincoln Riley.
What an idiot.
Lincoln Riley. Got the name wrong. Okay, that's what you have in the Oval Office. Someone who caused a massive humanitarian crisis at our southern border. Someone that has let millions of people into this country, many of whom, okay, have gotten away, so we don't even know where we are. That's who Joe Biden is.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
But in this moment, okay, he's more concerned, and I'm about to play you the clip, with the language used to describe a murderer than he is with the victim and the harm that he's caused.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Is it ever? I mean, this is disgusting. And I want to play this clip because I don't care, you know, how my job as a talk radio host, I don't care how you vote. Okay, I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I'm doing an American talk show. I used to drive a taxi in New York City. Because I live where I do, meaning America, there's a lot of opportunity here. If you're willing to work hard, you're willing to respect those opportunities, you're willing to do right by people, you know, you could find yourself in the position I wound up finding myself in, okay, which is hosting a radio show and being on the verge of getting my own TV show. And all it took from there was a couple of low-level extortion attempts and a hostage situation. But it worked out to my advantage as well.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
I'm just being silly. But the point is, anybody can be anybody, anything here. And I always call this show, for all of you new listeners, an audio safe space for cool people, meaning you're just cool. Okay, you can disagree, you can agree, you're not going to turn into a fat screaming child. Mom, this guy doesn't vote the way I do. I want him off the radio. That's not what this is. This is just a show where we can treat each other like adults who know the difference between a joke and a hate crime, who all love the country. It's the only rule we have on the show day in and day out.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
Straight up. But the choice you're being faced here in the United States of America as it pertains to the upcoming election is a very simple one. Okay? You've got one side that left the border wide open and is now being mindful of the language they use to describe murderers. And you've got another side that wants to get the murderers out of the country, that wants to forbid the murderers from coming into the country. Okay, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. You could be a member of the Whig Party, like Donald Trump.
This guy will say anything.
Just being silly. But regardless of how you vote or how you identify, we should all agree that the murderers shouldn't be allowed in the country.
I think he's got a point.
You know what else we should agree? That the murderers don't deserve our consideration as it pertains to the way we describe them. Okay, and I say that, why? Okay, because they don't, number one, deserve our consideration. Okay, but number two, if America is going to be America, if we're ever going to get back to trending in a direction where 70% of the country doesn't think we're headed the wrong way, we're going to have to start putting a bigger emphasis on what people do instead of what they say.
Bingo.
Okay, in the Biden administration, this migrant who has no business being in our country goes out and kills an innocent college girl and deserves some type of consideration. No, he doesn't, because it's a statement of fact. He is in this country illegally, and he commits a violent, illegal act along the way. The idea, okay, that we deserve this guy our, you know, consideration, I mean...
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
And to be clear, okay, the reason the language is changing, okay, they change language because when you control the language, you control the people. If you keep people from saying illegal immigrant, okay, you keep people from having an honest discussion about the problem you caused.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
That's why they don't want to call them illegals. Well, illegals? Well, how are they getting in here if it's illegal? Oh, I see. The president's letting them into the country.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
And he doesn't want to be in trouble. So he wants to change the language. So we're showing empathy to the people coming here illegally. Okay, this was not the norm in Democratic politics in seasons past. I'm going to play you some clips. This is how the Democrats used to describe, okay, illegal immigrants in this country. Specifically, okay, if you wanted to get into it, here's, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Okay, why don't we start there? I have hours of these. Let's start there. Clip 15.
While we need to address the issue of immigration and the challenge we have of undocumented people in our country, we certainly don't want any more coming in.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now, and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
So think about that. That man just said illegal immigration 6 different times. Do you want to know why he said illegal immigration 6 different times? Because it's illegal. Okay, they're only changing the language now, not because they don't know any better, but because they're trying to manipulate sentiment away from the damage they've caused. They don't want this to be a political liability, but they are straight up showing an indifference to the people being murdered and showing more partiality towards the people who are actually doing the murdering.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
So here is Biden, knowing that play's been sent into the huddle, being asked over the weekend about his language. Okay. And says he shouldn't have used the term illegal. Here it is, clip 9.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
I mean, dude.
Thank you for the education, gentlemen. We've just received a PhD in stupidity.
Have we ever? Okay. And do you hear the reporter as well? The reporter trying to shame him into saying so. Do you regret using the word, illegal? Guys, he's illegal. You know what else is illegal? Murder's illegal. Okay. When you send a message out to the world that we're more concerned with the language we use to describe murderers than the murderers killing our innocent citizens, you are derelict in your duty to defend our country. That's not a Republican talking point. That's an American talking point. Okay, you want to live in a country. Doesn't matter if it's America, it could be Canada, it could be Botswana. You could live anywhere in the world. okay? You want the president to be looking out for the victims more than the murderers, okay? I know we're on a lot of new stations today. You're going to come to figure this out pretty quickly. I am not an academic. Nobody is copying off me on a test. I'm one of those guys who's so dumb he studied for a COVID test. But when it comes to basic common sense, I am all the way right, because the guy sitting in the White House right now just apologized to the murderer instead of the victim's family.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
It's the number one show with humans and animals.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here is Donald Trump summing it up as succinctly as one can in such situations. Clip 10.
Are we going crazy or what? Is this country going crazy? How about that one? Newcomer. The newcomer. No, he was illegal. And I say he was an illegal alien. He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant. And he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy. And Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer.
He knows what he's talking about.
He should be. It's embarrassing. I'm telling you, that's not a Trump point. That's an American point. There's a guy in our country illegally. He broke the law to get here and killed a girl. We owe this man no sympathy. We owe this man no consideration. We owe this man the highest response possible under the letter of the law. That's all we owe this man. When you send the language, when you send the message to the cartels and the human traffickers and the people that are exploiting our border, that we got to be careful how we describe the murderers, okay, they really don't look at our country with the same level of respect.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
Okay, I mean, seriously, are we going to start calling the 9/11 terrorists unlicensed pilots? Well, you know, it'd be wrong to call them terrorists. Look at the message we're sending. I mean, my God. Okay, the guy's a murderer. The language we use to describe him, like, stop it. But this world where we have the empathy for the wrong people is why the country's trending in such a stupid direction. And if this resonates with you, it doesn't make you a Republican. It just makes you a common sense individual who wants the best for yourself and your family and your loved ones and your community. Okay? The border shouldn't be open. That doesn't mean we're anti-immigration. That means we are anti-illegal immigration. Because when it's illegal, when it comes in illegally, it means we aren't keeping tabs on who's here, which means invariably, inevitably, people who shouldn't be in this country wind up getting in. Okay, that's what this is the end result of. But rather than owning the carnage he's caused at the border, Biden and the Democrats want to make this election about how we describe the folks bringing the carnage onto our land. You know, the fentanyl and the rapes and the murders and everything in between. And that's why we're in the position we're in. One guy wants to stop the bad guys. The other guy wants to use nice language to describe them.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Back in New York this week after a wild hang down in Florida. We got nuts. And, of course, we also taped a heck of a Saturday night TV show that starred Lincoln Failla. He made his debut on the show after a lot of hype to build it up on this program. And joining us now to give his traditional Monday review of the program, Michael is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yo, Michael.
My man, hey, after taking Florida by storm, Jimmy, can I give you a little advice?
Oh, let's go.
All right. Next time you're in the Sunshine State, buddy, leave the Speedo at home. Your beach photos were setting the interwebs on fire, and I was a little embarrassed for you. You know what I'm saying?
You stop it, Michael. You think I had anything on at all. You are sadly mistaken. I'm kidding.
There you go.
You stop it.
Hey, another banger of a show, buddy, Saturday night.
Oh, good. You liked
it? I really loved the three comedians there. It was just nonstop witty banter between y'all. It was a laugh fest start to finish.
Oh,
fantastic.
Good. No, that matters. Thanks. Now, do I owe the Link Man a raise or no?
Oh, well, yeah. So you got George, the biggest guest of the show. Of course, the George from Queens, the Link Man, your skinny me. How great was he? Oh, my gosh. And I love the picture of him driving the cab.
Oh, that was little baby Lincoln way back when. Go ahead.
Was that your cab he was in?
Yeah, that was the OG. That was my medallion. I drove a cab. It was 2G34. And so I used to put Lincoln in it. I've told this story on the air before, how I drove in the preschool in it once, but I was so poor, I had to charge him. You know that story. He got no lunch that day. But that was Lincoln in the original cab. I have to find that cab. I want to try to, like, buy it back from whoever has it.
Wouldn't that be cool? That would be cool.
It would, but I don't know if there's anything left of it, because I beat that thing up. It was in bad shape.
like a rental car.
Yeah, it was bad. You don't want to know what happened to my rental car this weekend.
Oh, I can imagine.
Terrible.
You didn't drive it on the beach, right?
No, that was nice, that proposal everybody gave me about Florida. I drove, I got from Fort Lauderdale, it was 328 miles, from Fort Lauderdale up to Ponte Vedra, it was 328 miles. I did it in 3 hours and 5 minutes. So make what you want of the math on that, but it was a Challenger RT, and the only people on the road were me and this police helicopter that wouldn't seem to leave me alone for some reason. But it was great. It was a lot of fun.
So. Oh, my gosh. But you did so many great segments. The student drink forgiveness.
See?
Oh, my gosh.
We're not messing around, Michael.
Pitch slap featuring Forrest Trump.
That was good, right?
Gosh, that was so clever.
Listen, man.
Yes.
Nobody's having more fun than me, man. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, you are. We're having a good time, Michael. So I'm glad it passed. Go ahead.
How great was Dennis Miller when you interviewed him?
He's fun.
I love Dennis Miller.
We had such a deep chat off the air. Like, we didn't air most of the interview because he's so much smarter than me. So most of the interview is me just Googling what he's talking about because he's smarter than me. He's probably about a 700-point IQ difference between him and me. But he was great.
He's smarter than most people, buddy.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live, those were the classic SNLs. When Dennis Miller was there.
Yeah, they were great. He might have lost a step in the intelligence department if he agreed to come on our show, but that's for another time. You still got it.
Fantastic.
Thanks, brother.
Buddy.
I'll see you during the week.
Up,
be good out there. My man, the great Michael, he watched Fox News Saturday night. I got to be honest, Fox News Saturday night this weekend, it was a banger.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Nah, Lincoln was great. There were clips on the Fox Across America Facebook page at foxacrossamerica.com, which is where you'd also get tickets to see me live if you're on one of these brand spanking new affiliates we're broadcasting on. But right now, I'm worked up about the border. You guys are going to have to take me down a peg. This is where your calls might really save the show because, you know, if you're new to the show, you're probably saying to yourself, wow, this guy sounds like he gets paid in Tide Pods and tequila. And that's only because it's true. Like, I don't really take a serious approach to this, meaning I'm very thankful for the job and the platform Fox has given me. But I take the issue seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. That's the whole hook. That's the whole superpower to the show. The superpower is the fact that I don't have a superpower. So when people come to these stand-up events and sell them out and they meet me, they feel like they're just hanging out with somebody they know because they do know me. I prioritize what you prioritize. You want, you know, the ability to pay for things when you go to the store. You'd like to feel safe on the way there and the way back. You have very basic stuff. You don't want to know people who get poisoned by fentanyl and die. You don't want to see our tax dollars prioritize everything but this country. Sadly, that's where we are right now. Like when Biden opened the State of the Union on Ukraine, at a time when 70% of the country, thinks we're headed in the wrong direction, Biden opened the State of the Union on somebody else's union.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Like, you almost wonder if he knows which country he's in charge of. I know that's kind of said in jest, but there is no overstating how preposterously stupid it is that anyone would be apologizing for calling a murderer an illegal. It is a statement of fact. And again, this country, and this is all I'm trying to contribute to the media landscape, is this country, there used to be a basic decency when it came to political opposition, meaning whoever was in power would clearly get opposed at just about every turn by the other party if they had ideological differences. But there were common culture issues that we left alone. The border is the best example I can give you of such a thing, because the Democrats, voted for border wall security under George W. Bush and under Barack Obama. And oh, by the way, gave Bill Clinton a standing ovation for calling out the scourge of illegal immigration at the 1995 State of the Union. Here's the clip, clip 16.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
And there,
I admire your honesty.
And he got a standing ovation for that from both parties. Why? Okay, for the same reason Barack Obama, as a candidate, campaigned against illegal immigration. This wasn't viewed as racist or xenophobic. Nobody said don't come. Nobody said we don't want you. The only thing any of us said was come here legally. Okay, this clip of Obama right now that I'm about to play you would make him like a proud boy if he espoused these views today. Okay, believe, again, this is the very rhetoric they tell you Trump is using to, you know, poison the narratives in this country. They don't like that Trump uses bad language around illegal immigrants. Okay, why do they not like it? Are they truly appalled? Are they some type of a moral people in Washington?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. These people have no morals. They've lied you into countless wars. They fired you from your job for refusing to take a vaccine that didn't even work. Okay, they interfered in the 2020 election by telling you Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. They did this knowing that the intelligence community had already corroborated the authenticity of the laptop, and they went out and lied anyway.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Okay, they have no moral standing on anything. Okay, so when they take the framing around the conversation of like, well, Trump shouldn't be saying this. You know, Trump said we should build a wall because Mexico's sending drugs and crime and rapists. Well, lo and behold, we have drugs and crime and rapists coming across the border. That is a statement of fact. You might not like the language that's being used, but you know what sucks more than the language? Overdosing, getting raped or killed. Okay, Barack Obama, to his credit, knew that in 2009, as did the Democrats, and they elected a guy who ran on this. This sounds like Obama would be reading out of the teleprompter at a Trump speech. This is 2009 Barack Obama warning against the evil dangers of illegal immigration. Clip 17.
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship so that It's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it. So we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
That's 2009 Barack Obama. If he said that to the Democratic Party right now,
he should be behind bars.
They'd want to lock him up. Okay, did you hear that? Two key components, everything you need to know. You come here illegally, you are going to go to the back of the line. That's not what's happening. Okay, the people applying legally are now being pushed to the back of the line.
That's not right.
Okay, because the folks that would otherwise be doing the processing are now forced to deal with this influx of migrants. And what Barack Obama warned against in 2009, he said, we can't have a 500,000 a year coming over the border. Yo, we have 8 million people a year. Okay, in totality, that have come over this border.
Biden is such a disaster.
But to put it in a year-by-year specific, they've averaged 2 million people a year. So there's Obama saying, we can't have a 500,000 people a year coming in. Biden has averaged over 2 million people a year coming into this country. Think about that. Okay, and Barack Obama, the reality he was speaking to in 2009 is a reality the Democrats embraced. Of course you can't have illegal people coming here because we get stuck paying for it. It screws over the people who come here legally, but along the way, you incentivize child sex trafficking, drug trafficking, the fentanyl poisonings that are occurring at a record pace right now. I'm not being like a Fox News provocateur, some right-wing strongman. I'm just your American teammate. Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or Independent, you are my teammate. We live in this country. As the country goes, we go. If there's a war tomorrow, guess what? We're all on the same team. It might not feel that way on Twitter, might not feel that way on Facebook. Okay, but that is the reality. We've gotten away from prioritizing a greater good in this country because it's become more important to beat the other side. People put their party over their country. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of because doing so forces you at times to be at odds with common sense measures we know provide for a greater good. The reason every single politician in the history of politics agreed that we needed a strong border policy is because we needed, are you ready for it? A strong border policy.
You are correct, sir.
The reason we stopped agreeing in a strong border policy, okay, is because in the age of social media, where words became a bigger priority than deeds, it was easy to weaponize political sentiment against Donald Trump for espousing a policy everyone agreed with. They just didn't like the words he was using to push it. So we became an America that supported border wall funding, voted for it under Obama, voted for it under Bush, to people laughably saying we should be building bridges and not walls. That's a fine phraseology if you're getting a trophy at an award show. But does anybody getting a trophy at an award show build a bridge onto their property as opposed to the walls they all have? No. Do any of the representatives in Washington build a bridge onto their property that anyone can approach? No, they build walls and they have security teams. And that's the biggest problem with the America we're living in right now, because we are as divided as we are. And it's so much more important to beat each other. The people in Washington who work for all of us get away with not doing their job, with not putting our interests first. Okay, believe me, there is no justifiable reason Joe Biden should be disqualified from representing this country for apologizing to a murderer. A murderer deserves your sympathy? Folks, that's disgusting. That's like a straight dereliction of your duty to this country. You swore an oath to protect Americans. You're now apologizing to the guy who killed one of them, a guy who happened to be in the country illegally, making him an illegal migrant. Okay, he's not undocumented. In fact, this guy's now very documented because he's been arrested and fingerprinted and processed, which is what he should have been done and kicked out at the moment he entered our country.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The show that solves problems the old-fashioned way.
You and me are going to fight when that bell rings at 3 o'clock.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Here's Tim Scott laying it down over this whole hullabaloo regarding Biden and the migrants and whether we should be calling them illegal. Here it is, clip 13.
No one can explain that. Talk about disgusting. Joe Biden is more worried about using the word illegal or undocumented. The word he should use is murderer. Here we have Donald Trump, our president, sitting down with Lake and Riley's family. And you have Joe Biden apologizing for what word he used.
True story. Okay. And I got to tell you, man, it was...
That was embarrassing.
It really was. Okay, but this is where you find yourself. This is the divide facing the country, the philosophical divide of our times. Okay, one side prioritizes what you say. One side prioritizes what you do. Okay, straight up, that's how this works, okay? Trump talks about migrants, and he uses very strong language to do it. You might not agree with all of it, okay? He takes it there. The guy does. Okay, but if illegal border crossings are 2 million people higher a year under Joe Biden than they are under Donald Trump, then in theory, if you're trying to keep your family safe, okay, you're trying to keep your tax dollar going to the right causes, in theory, you want bad language guy. You don't want the, you know, guy who reads whatever's in the teleprompter, assuming he can read what's in the teleprompter. He's, you know, he has his good days and his bad days. But the reality is, okay, Joe Biden has let over 8 million people that we know of into the country. 8 million people. Okay, and we got here because he eliminated the Remain in Mexico policy. A policy that forced people to stay in Mexico if they were apprehended at our border. Ergo, they didn't even try to come because they knew they weren't guaranteed safe passage. Now that anyone who shows up and gets in, you're not living in a country. You're living in the college bar that doesn't check ID. Ergo, everyone's showing up whether they have ID or not. And the good news is there's more girls. The bad news is they don't speak English.
What buenos dias?
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You bet it is, and here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. I mean,
we have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Do we ever? We're going to discuss them in this hour with Tudor Dixon, a gal who ran for governor out in Michigan and did so well. She's now hosting a podcast. Tudor Dixon will be joining us in this hour. She is a regular on Fox News Saturday Night, if you watch my TV show, and she's a regular on this show. Why? Because she's a great mom, she's a great American, and she prioritizes everything that you prioritize.
Freedom!
That is all. This show, if you're listening for the first time, and a lot of you are, it's a historic day on the show. But if you are listening for the first time, we'll get to you in a second. But this show, above all else, is just prioritizing your American privilege. If you live in this country, you hit the lottery by virtue of the fact that you are born here. No matter what you are, gay, straight, black, white, Asian, Mario, Luigi, Pokemon, Pikachu, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, they Pac-Man, you know, anything. Doesn't matter, okay? There is no more tolerant or inclusive, prosperous place to be you than right here in America.
That's true. That is true.
So we always have perspective when we get on the air. You're welcome to disagree with the host as much as you want. Okay, believe me, I'm not like an intellectual know-it-all. I went to community college and majored in video games. Like, I wish I was kidding. But the point is, we are trying to have conversations around the fact, okay, that we're fighting the wrong battles in this country. That's it in a nutshell. I spent the first hour of my show today here on Fox News. I was screaming and yelling in the halls all morning about the fact that Biden apologized for calling a murderer an illegal murderer. Illegal. That's what Biden said. Oh, I'm sorry. And that's, I mean,
in my opinion, that sucked.
You're damn right it sucked. Because the message you send out to the world is we're more worried about how they describe these people than what they're doing to us. And I promise that doesn't make sense. So when we get on the air, we're just trying to talk to you about sensible solutions, about paths forward we should all be able to get behind regardless of which party we vote for, because again and again and again, as the country goes, we go. So you'll hear a lot of that. If you're listening to me for the first time on WOKV down in Jacksonville, you're hanging out with my man Jim Gracie. Gracie came out to Ponte Vedra Saturday night. He was at the early show. He saw a rowdy show. I mean, the Q&A alone was just completely off the rails. I loved it. But a shout out to everybody listening for the first time on WOKV. If you're in Jenny Fela territory, WHIO down in Dayton, hanging out with Nick Roberts in the game, that's a big deal. That's a big thank you. You're listening to us for the first time in their weekday lineup right now. That is rad. Go up to QP in Lima, get a QP hamburger on me. I don't know what to tell you. We love it out in Dayton. I spend a lot of my summer in Wapakoneta hanging out with Jenny's family. So shout out to my Dayton peeps. And we've certainly got plenty of Penn Station sub-enthusiasts. If you've ever seen my family, we're always eating Penn Station when we're out in Dayton. So you can come hang out with us at WGAU down in Athens, Georgia. Johnny Joey Jones territory. Those are my people. That's America right there. Not America. I represent America with an apostrophe. The fun people who have fireworks and patriotism and know how to make good barbecue. That's who you want to hang out with. Okay.
That is correct.
Totally. And of course, WDBO in Orlando. Okay. Put us into our new time slot last week, and we are forever grateful for that. But we're not grateful for, in this moment, our comedians, okay, that essentially have become activists masquerading as comedians. Why does that bother me as a guy who's a comic, who hosts his own TV show here on the Fox News Channel? Because I feel like comedy, and late night comedy specifically, has failed this country by going as political as it has. I say that, why? Because late night comedy used to be a source of common culture, a place we all went to put our differences aside at the end of the day and just laugh about the shared experience of living a day in this country. That's what late night comedy used to be. If you were watching Johnny Carson, you're watching Steve Allen, you're watching Jack Parr, okay, or any iteration of The Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon, to his credit, is the only late night host that still wants to be a traditional late night host and make you laugh before he makes you vote. You watch Colbert, you are watching an activist masquerade as a comedian. If you're watching Kimmel, you're watching a guy who would be in a lot of trouble for wearing blackface because he did it a lot 20 years ago. So to preserve himself, he has adapted the sensibility of everyone in the far left wing of Hollywood.
They're crazy.
Oh, a lot of them are nuts. But the point is, he wants to stay in their good graces and continue to host the Oscars. So there's going to be an obligatory Trump bash or Republican bash in every single thing he does, because that's kind of the protection money he pays to the outrage mob. And that's true. Jimmy Kimmel's a perfectly capable comic. I'm not being dismissive of him or his comic. I mean, the guy got a late night show on ABC. It's phenomenal. Guy was on The Man Show. Guy had fun. He had, you know, made a good name for himself. And he's out there hosting the Oscars. But sadly, he's now hosting the Oscars in a way that half the country won't laugh at. And that's a failure on his part. That's a failure on the Academy's part. Okay, your job is ultimately to do what? Sell movie tickets. And you're having a really hard time getting people out of the house in this day and age to go to the cinema, because there's just so much at your disposal when it comes to streaming and on-demand content that the last thing you should try to do is alienate 50% of your potential customers.
I think he's got a point.
But last night at the Oscars, and I can't pin this squarely on Kimmel, okay, he, of course, read a Truth Social post and trashed Trump and got a big applause break from everyone in the room, 99.9% of whom are liberal. Now, to be clear, he couldn't have did this bit if Trump hadn't Truth Socialed about him halfway through the show, which Trump did. That being said, there's never going to be an appetite to take the high ground if you're Jimmy Kimmel. And we only know that because the show monologue opened on him trashing Katie Britt, who, by all accounts, did do a lousy job of giving the rebuttal to the State of the Union address.
I admire your honesty.
No, she did. I don't pretend. I don't know anybody that. She read, if you saw the response to the State of the Union, the rebuttal, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was phenomenal a year ago. Phenomenal. She basically talked about the choice in our country being between crazy people and sane people, and gave a list of why she considered a lot of the loud voices on the left to be crazy. I agreed with the vast, vast, vast majority of her comments. Katie Britt also said a lot of things I agreed with, but she said them with the tone and contrived, you know, it's a weird, I don't want to call it an indignation, but it's kind of like this, it just didn't ring true. I don't want to get the words wrong, but it didn't ring true. And she had the energy of a blue-haired woman recording a TikTok video in a Subaru. You know when libs of TikTok will repost a video like, hey, listen, look at how nuts this person looks, giving you some lecture on how we should live our lives. I felt that Katie Britt's overcoached performance came off that way. And I agreed with the substance of it. That being said, I don't owe a political party some type of a rubber stamp endorsement of what they do. So I, you know, feel like I can be honest in my assessment. Kimmel, on the other hand, hosting the opening of an Oscars that's 3 days removed from the State of the Union address. Okay, a State of the Union address where, by all accounts, they had shot the president up on some type of a drug, and he screamed at us for an hour and 15 minutes like he was on speed.
I agree with that.
Like, really? That, I mean, I'm telling you this as a guy who's driven a cab, as a guy who's been around a lot of drug consumption in his life, they had hopped Biden up to the moon, onto the absolute moon for the State of the Union.
Tell him like it is.
No, I mean, they're very lucky they didn't kill the guy. He's normally a guy. This is what Joe Biden sounds like in his day to day.
You know, the rapidly rising
But then he comes out to the State of the Union and screams for an hour and a half. And the Democrats are like, no, no, he's fine. He wasn't on anything at all.
Come on. Don't bullshit me.
Guy's a mess. Okay. But was there any acknowledgement of that guy being a mess by Jimmy Kimmel? No. At a time when you're living in an America where 86% of Americans have concerns about the president's mental faculties, do you know how significant that is in the annals of our country? You've never lived in America. No matter what lie they told you about Reagan at late stage Reagan towards the end of his second term, no matter what lie they manufactured about Ronald Reagan, you've never lived in an America ever where 40% of the country had concerns about the president's mental health. You've never lived in that America. Now we're living in an America where 86% think the president's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and Jimmy Kimmel doesn't even touch it.
You gotta do better than that.
I mean, I don't care. But the point is, if you're not going after that, but you are going after Katie Britt, who, oh, by the way, 3% of the country watches the response, not even 3%, watches the response to the State of the Union, you're clearly doing so for political reasons. You want your monologue to shape sentiment. I don't want to be a part of that. When you watch my Saturday night TV show, you'll notice we don't do a lot of politics, but we do book a lot of liberals because we want to show you that it's cool to hang out with them because they're your teammates. If there's a war tomorrow, every one of these right-wing strongmen in mass media that are telling you the liberals are the enemy, the enemy's already here, they're destroying our country from within, those people are doing our country they purport to care so much about a disservice. They are not your enemies. Jessica Tarloff is not your enemy. Someone you don't like here at Fox, because she takes political positions that are different than yours, she's just not your enemy. You might not like her. You might get mad when you hear her say the things she says. But if there's a war tomorrow, we're all on the same team, dude. And everybody who tells you they're a super patriot and they're just looking out for you and the founding fathers and the Constitution, if they really believe that, there's no world where they should be calling liberals your enemy.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
So if you're listening, believe me, okay, you are welcome on this show, liberals. You are welcome on my TV show. Okay, but you're not going to get that same courtesy, that same reciprocity if you're watching Jimmy Kimmel or Stephen Colbert. Okay, if you're a conservative, they hate you. They think you are intellectually beneath them. They think you are morally beneath them. They think there is a justification in ostracizing you from polite society because they somehow know better than you. Okay, do you remember the time they told us the unvaccinated shouldn't get treated? They should be shamed. Jimmy Kimmel went as far out of his way to say that if someone comes into a hospital and they're short beds and they're unvaccinated, let them die.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
I mean, dude.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
And by the way, do you think Jimmy Kimmel, a guy who said, yeah, rest in peace, unvaccinated person, do you think Jimmy Kimmel has ever gone back and admitted he was wrong about the vaccine blocking transmission?
The answer would be no.
All of that moral superiority, all of that shaming, that holier than now, we know better approach to every single thing they do. Just that dripping condescension they aim at everybody else. Okay, it speaks to such a lack of self-awareness. And that's the danger of only existing in an intellectual bubble. If you only talk to people who agree with you, over time, you start to lose an appreciation for just how far out of touch you are with common sense and the rest of society. Okay, believe me, people who didn't want to take the vaccine were not white supremacists. They were not murderers. Okay, they were people who had genuine concerns about the fact that the government had lied to them a lot lately, and certainly lied to them an awful lot when it came to the vaccine. Understand, on the campaign trail, Biden and Kamala were bashing the vaccine, okay? The one they now tell you you have to take or you'll be fired from your job because you're a murderer. They were bashing it at the time because they were more concerned with it being an asset to Donald Trump's campaign than a health asset to our society.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up.
Think about that. That's Joe Biden saying, who the hell is even going to take this thing? Why? Because the politics were more important than the people. If you truly believe the vaccine works, you shouldn't be bashing it on the campaign trail. But he bashed it on the campaign trail. And then the minute he got elected, he turned around and said, everybody's got to take it.
Bingo, man. Bingo.
But before he said everybody's got to take it, he also said he wouldn't mandate the vaccine.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. But
wait, what? I don't think it should be mandatory? I wouldn't make it mandatory?
So I guess we have some issues.
Of course we do. The issue is the president is full of and if you're a comic like Jimmy Kimmel and you've just pledged allegiance to one political party because you guys run on moral superiority, you kind of lose your connection to common sense and a true greater good. Comedy is supposed to contribute to the greater good by giving us a place where we can turn our political differences aside and we can have true escapism for an hour, for 45 minutes. You just go laugh at stupid things that happen around the country and we call it a day. That's our job. Comics are supposed to make you laugh. Okay, strippers are supposed to turn you on.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
No one is showing up to hear a stripper's take on the border. She's not, which is unfortunate because strippers probably know a lot about family separation, if we're being honest.
What the hell did you just say?
I'm just saying, okay? And what I'm really saying in a nutshell is that if you want to help the country, if you're a late-night comedian who wants to help the country, you should do comedy. Okay, leave the activism at home. Leave the othering at home because that's not comedy. That's activism masquerading as comedy. And if your goal as a comic is to make sure one political party wins, then every one of your audience members loses.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
Call in now. We're excited to hear from you.
Who the f*** is this?
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be rapping with Tudor Dixon in the next break. Tudor, a mom from the great state of Michigan. Tudor and her mom, as a matter of fact, came to my stand-up show in Holland, Michigan over the summer. If you want tickets to see me live, you can get them at foxacrossamerica.com. The next time I'm back out on the road, March 29th, Helena, Montana. March 30th, Spokane, Washington. Then we go off to Federal Way, April the 5th, and then we're in Boise at the Egyptian Theater, April the 6th. We got to sell that out again this year because the Egyptian last year was out of control crazy, and I'm dying to see you guys, so come hang out. And let's sign another 2 hours worth of books like we did on Saturday night. Yo, the people of Florida, and I tell you, like, I am very pro-Florida. I love, my goodness gracious, the ride I had up from Fort Lauderdale up to Jacksonville to that area, 328 miles. We did it in 3 hours and 5 minutes because the people of Florida just drive that fast. As a former New York City cab driver, oh, I loved it so much. We did about 110, and I wasn't keeping up with traffic. It was madness. And it's Florida. And, you know, it's gorgeous. There's palm trees. You're flying it. It's like your own little Daytona 500. So I was very grateful for the experience yesterday. Then, of course, what happened? I left behind the free state of Florida where it was 80 degrees out, flew back to New York and JFK. The very first thing I see on the Van Wyck yesterday when I'm pulling out of the airport is someone going potty on the middle of the sidewalk. Disgusting, man. People who live in New York, they think the rest of the country wishes they were us.
That is a fact check false.
I mean, I grew up believing the same thing. And then I started traveling the country and I was like, oh, no, everyone thinks we're crazy. They don't want to live here. If you live in what's known as the flyover states, you have hit the lottery, my man. Okay, you got lower taxes than I do. You got a lot more space. Your money goes a lot further. You don't have to fight some pantless hobbit on the subway every day. And yes, people do this thing in, say, Tulsa, Oklahoma, called going to the bathroom indoors. There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon. Maiden voyage today on some fancy new stations all over the country. Jacksonville, Florida, Dayton, Ohio, Athens, Georgia, Orlando, Florida. Day like today, you bust out the big guns. And joining us now, it doesn't get any bigger. She is, of course, the superstar host of the Tudor Dixon podcast, a regular on my hit show, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, and a fan favorite on this show. Tudor Dixon is back. The crowd goes wild. Hey, girl.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You have no idea. I needed, for real, Tudes, you know how me and you get along, we laugh, and we kind of keep the mood light? I genuinely needed to hear a friend today because I am so sore from getting groped by women in Ponte Vedra, Florida at the meet and greet on Saturday night. These ladies were handsy, Tudor. like I know we joke about the fact that I had to have security tase your mom backstage because she got a little carried away, but your mom has nothing on these ladies.
Wow, this is, it's hard being famous, you know? This is what you asked for, though.
This is the problem with dressing like an affordable stripper, is you seem more, because you are more approachable. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was in better shape, they'd probably feel bad about groping me, but in the shape I'm in, they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead. It's a talking ham.
He needs some love.
Yeah, he actually, we're actually helping him out. We're raising his self-worth. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Listen, I made assurances to the Fox News Saturday Night fans that you would be back on the show soon, so don't make me look bad.
Absolutely. No, I will definitely. You say the word. I mean, you have to invite me.
Is that how it works? I just show up in a jacket and tell a bunch of inappropriate jokes and go home. I don't put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, friends.
I don't put a lot of thought into this. Listen,
Prince Fela.
You stop it. That's maybe like Prince Fielder, who was the chubby first baseman on the Brewers. That's as close as I'd come to being a prince. Or there was a chubby rapper in the group PM Dawn. He was like Prince P or something like that. But anyway, let's get focused here, Dixon. Enough shots at me. Let's take some at the president just for a second. There's no world where anyone, forget the president of the United States. No one should be apologizing for the language they use to describe a murderer. Can we just start there?
No, I mean, this is honestly what an outrage. And I think that it's something that we kind of thought you could even joke that how could he possibly be this bad that he would get the woman's Lake and Riley's name wrong, the woman who had suffered this horrific fate, that he would get that wrong. And then the people around him would actually come out and say, how could he call him an illegal? I mean, that was like, you can't make this stuff up. That's got to be a joke that they would even say that. That Nancy Pelosi would come out and say that. All of a sudden, you see all these congressmen tweeting, how could he do this? And you're like, you've got to be kidding me right now. And then, of course, right on cue, the leftist media comes out and says, so, you know, got to call you on this. We're not going to call you on anything else. Everything else you do, you're in the clear, buddy. But we got to call you on this. the murderous animal, you know, the gang member who came over illegally, who committed crimes illegally and then murdered someone illegally, you call him illegal.
Yeah.
Gotta call you on that, man. And he's like, yeah, no, undocumented. I screwed up. What? When does the president of the United States, first of all, look like such a weak, pathetic, like my handlers told me, yeah, I screwed up, I gotta apologize.
It's like, that's a great point, Tudor. It's like, how good is this pudding cup that he's willing to say, I shouldn't call him illegal, just so he'll get the pudding cup at the end of the interview? It's gotta be a good pudding cup, no?
Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe...
Tapioca.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe.
What are we talking about here? Because he's essentially being led around by other people. Like when you watch a press conference begin with, well, I can't take questions, I'll get in trouble. That's not a man who's in charge. If you're the leader of the free world, you can't get in trouble. Isn't that the whole point? You call the shots?
There's something that doesn't add up because people are like, you know, other Democrats, we really want him to step down, but he's so nasty about it. And then they go and they admonish him, and he's like, let me go fix it. Let me go with my tail between my legs as president of the United States and make it all right. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's because his staff is so desperate to stay there that they allow him to be this belligerent jerk to everyone in the White House, which has been well reported that he is horrible to people. And then when he screws up, they go to him like, look, man, we've got your back, but you don't go outside of the words that we accept. Mm-hmm. So go on national TV and apologize for this. We don't care how stupid you look. This is what you do.
That's a great point. We're talking to Tudor Dixon, who's telling it like it is. That's what she does every day on the Tudor Dixon podcast. I mean, you basically just go there to hear how it is. Isn't that the truth, Tudor?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had some really interesting stories lately about, oh, well, I'll let people go there. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, sell the sizzle, not the steak. Come on, Tudor. I kid. No. This is how secure I am in my manhood, that I'm so happy to have people programming other, you know, promoting other things that aren't on my platform, Tudes. Because, you know, you're in the, you know, if this is like a radio mafia, you're a made guy in the mafia. Like if this is Donnie Brasco, you're a friend of ours. That matters. That's not nothing, Tudor. It's not nothing. Can I throw one other thing at you then while I got you on the phone? Because it's just exciting because we got you here. It's good for morale. You know what I mean? So we're essentially in like general election mode. Did you get the takeaway? Because the State of the Union to me did feel like a campaign speech. It didn't feel like he was catering to the country. Did you on any level feel like he was just trying to solidify his support within his party more than actually addressing the needs of the country?
Well, we didn't hear anything about the actual State of the Union. So, yes, obviously he was out there trying to rally his base. And he was, I mean, again, it was like every other Democrat. I mean, the state of the state in Michigan was very similar. It was Oprah's favorite things, you know, and we're going to give you no credit card debt. We're going to give you free student loans. And we're going to give you, everything was free this and free that. And it's like, what? Where are you getting all of this? I mean, they're buying votes, but the thing that people have to acknowledge, I mean, everybody's like, oh, that was just a campaign speech. Okay, well, he just got to televise his campaign speech to everyone in the country, and those folks who aren't paying attention, which let me tell you, the majority of people are not like us. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
They heard that and they went, man, this country's doing so great. They can give me everything free. I mean, kudos to him. Great job. Nobody's going to say you can't do it.
Yeah, that's the part that I think was rough. It was like, it almost felt like, you know, he was auditioning, you know, because he's very unpopular. Even within his own party, they don't want him to run again. So apparently, I told Hannity the other night, he might have eaten one of Commander's dog biscuits because he was very angry. You know, the dog that keeps biting everybody in the White House. Do you think that's why the speech was late? Because Biden bit Secret Service agents.
It was a bad batch of cocaine. I don't know.
Oh, Tudor! Going right there. That's why we love her.
He's always angry, though. I mean, that's the thing that I think... It's so funny because I have a family member who is obviously very much on the other side of the aisle from me and sent me a message like, if that's what he's going to do every night, you guys are toast. And I'm like, that's funny, because we were watching this and we're like, whoa, dementia. Yeah. This is really bad. You know, he's yelling at people. You can just imagine what it's like in the White House. But I honestly, afterward, I was thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, if I'm Jill, I am holding on to that White House like grim death, because otherwise I'm taking care of him. Right now he has a staff and I can like slink out of the room and let him yell at everybody else. But of course she's not going to let him step down. Why, she hasn't made how many people get to say, I have a staff of in the entire White House and we have this phenomenal place, when my husband should be in a nursing home and I get to wander around as the First Lady of the United States. I mean, I would never let this go if I were him.
Jill Biden. I love this theory. Joe Biden wants re-election because she gets free elder care. That's what we're down
for sure.
to.
That's right. And I'm sure that
you're not wrong.
Right too.
I'm not telling you you're wrong, because she does love being First Lady and having the attention that comes from being First Lady. I know there was, you know, a bitter divide between her and Michelle Obama, from what I was told by my own sources at the time. And I don't doubt that she likes being, you know, part of the glitterati and the beautiful people. And at the same time, like you said, just having free visiting angels come to the White House and take care of the president. I think this is hilarious. Imagine that.
Like, when our relatives become like, you know, old and suffer from dementia, we don't get to give them whatever this hit of like, yeah, high grade coke is or whatever it is that can bring them back for like 24 hours. So she at least gets glimpses of the old Joe.
Dude, I was saying this on stage over the weekend, like, they're really lucky they didn't kill him, because he was
right.
really jazzed up, man. Like, I've met him twice. It ain't that guy.
Yeah, but it took a few minutes to kick in. They're like, crap, it's not going to work. Are we going to have to call this off? You know, they were late. I'm sure everybody was totally panicked. And then it's like, what is it like? Is he napping and that he comes alert? All yeah. of a sudden, you have to wonder what was happening behind the scenes. Is he like muttering things that are you can't understand? And then suddenly he's like, let's go. It's go time.
It's like Frosty the Snowman. You know, when Frosty gets the hat, he says yeah. happy. That's how they knew the drugs had kicked in. Biden said happy birthday. He's like, happy birthday. And they're like, get him to the Capitol. He's ready. Frosty's got his magic hat. It's so crazy. This is the world we live in, Tudor Dixon. I don't know what to tell you, man. And we got 8 months between now and Election Day to look forward to. I look forward to covering it with you both on TV and radio. Stop being a diva and come back on the Prince's show, okay? I love it.
I look forward to that as well.
All right. Rock and roll. Big win for the American people. I'll see you soon, girlfriend.
Okay, thanks.
There she goes, the legendary Tudor Dixon, best of the best. She's so good on my TV show. She's great. Like, I'm going to put out some rankings of who I think the best guests are. You know, obviously Lincoln, my son, wouldn't be one of them.
Shut your mouth.
I'm being silly. Lincoln did great. If you miss Lincoln, it's on the Fox Across America website. It's on the Fox Across America Facebook page as well. Yeah, I brought my son right on the show. Brought my wife on the show. I bring my whole family on at some point, because the show is a hang. We're trying to get TV. We're trying to get radio back to a place where people can kind of just chill out. Nobody chills out anymore. For real. Everybody's just working an unpaid job as an angry political pundit. That's the world we live in now. Social media is a fight club for people who don't want to get hit. That's what it is, you know. Go ahead. Go on social media right now and just post like a, this is my favorite Aerosmith video. Within two comments, somebody will be like, yeah, too bad January 6th, you white supremacists. And you're like, whoa, what just happened? There's a broken person here in my thread commenting on something I didn't post about. That's like most of my social media. You know, you get all the cool people who interact with the show. And then there's always like one notorious person who posts in response to everything you do. I hate you. I would never watch Fox. You're the devil. I'm like, well, you spend a lot of time on Fox Facebook posts. For someone who hates me and thinks I'm the devil, you sure seem to comment a lot.
I think he's got a point.
You know, it's crazy. But that's social media in a nutshell. It's just a broken societal compass. We're trying to fix it on this show with the support of like-minded people like yourself.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The show that's not afraid to tell you the truth.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Got a big one coming up in the next hour. Tommy Lahren is going to drop by. She's, of course, the host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick. Multimedia personality in her own right. Somebody I like to talk to. Shouldn't have a filter. I miss those people. Remember that day and age you just said whatever the hell was on your mind? It was America, you know, good old-fashioned America with
freedom!
Yeah, you just said what you wanted to say. You didn't worry about getting canceled, getting in trouble. All of these things we're doing in our country when it comes to fighting the wrong battles, I wanted to play this for you. This is crazy. This is the end result of the summer of 2020, okay? That moment where we had more empathy for the criminals than their victims. This is why I was so outraged over Biden being upset or at least apologizing for calling a murderer an illegal immigrant. Joe Biden did that, okay? And the reason I find that so disgusting is when you create a society that has more empathy for the bad guy than their victim, by default, you get more bad guys and you get more victims.
That's true. That is true.
Okay? I am not saying people who commit crimes live a life that doesn't have hardship in it. I'm just saying our goal should be stopping them and correcting them, not making sure we use the right words to describe people that are actually killing us. But the rhetorical war we led on law enforcement, which at times became a physical war in the summer of 2020, which ultimately became a monetary war in that we cut the police budgets in major municipalities, it crushed police morale. In New York, we saw a wave of early retirements, 40% increase every year since 2020 of guys getting off the job because they don't want to risk their lives for a public that doesn't appreciate them. Okay, sentiments are swinging again because people understand we can't have a society without the cops. It's the stupidest thing ever spoken. Defund the police are the three dumbest words in the history of this country.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
That being said, the morale was crushed. Okay, the sentiment amongst the guys who put on the uniform, doing the single most important job in our society, okay, got to a place where people didn't want the gig. So due to some staffing shortages in Pittsburgh, due to some budgetary constraints, I'm about to play you a News 11 report out in Pittsburgh. If you're listening to us on WJAS, if you're listening on Beaver County Radio, you're probably familiar with this report I'm about to play you. But it's an announcement that the police department will no longer be responding to certain calls, okay, unless it's a crime in progress. In addition, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no police officers at the stations throughout the city.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Listen to this, clip 31.
Residents of the city will see a major change in the way police respond. They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in-progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency. Also, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers at any of the six stations throughout the city. Call boxes that link directly to 911 have been installed for people to use in case of an emergency. And during the overnight shift, there will be as few as 20 officers to cover the entire city. The chief said today the data supports that.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Okay, so not only are there going to be no cops in the police stations between 3 and 7 a.m. You mean we're talking about DIY police work now. You pay tax dollars to have cops. Okay, but from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m., you don't have cops. And guess what? We just told the criminals that between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., we don't have cops.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
This is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. And we find ourselves in this position because they're dealing with a massive officer shortage in Pittsburgh. There are 100 cops below where they want to be because they drove cops from the force, and they're having a really hard time recruiting, as they are in every major municipality. Why? Because we haven't had the backs of police. Okay, Democrats flat out told you we needed to defund the police. I mean, that was a thing.
Yes, I support the defund movement because this is about the investment in our communities, which have historically been divested.
Not only do we need to defund, but we need to dismantle and start anew.
Why use the word defund? Why use the word defund? And it's like, this is the word that's coming from the streets.
Oh my, what?
You're an idiot!
Is she ever? Okay, but that's why Pittsburgh now has do-it-yourself policing during the hours of 3 and 7. Thanks, AOC.
AOC is a dope.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Boom! There it is. Here we go. Here we go. Back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be joined by Tommy Lahren, a multimedia superstar, someone fired up about all things America, a little down on the fact that the White House apologized about calling an illegal murderer an illegal. I mean, dude, it's...
You've got to get mad!
No, you don't. You can calm down this hour. This is not that show. 888-788-9910. We do not want you to get mad. This is not a call to arms. Fox Across America is a call to chill the f*** out. That's what we're doing, girlfriend. So if you want a piece of it, 888-788-9910. So we embark on a big hour of the show. We're doing it on a lot of brand new fancy pants affiliates. We are now in the weekday lineup on WOKV down in Jacksonville. I hung out with my man Jim Gracie over the weekend. We had a great time. It got rowdy. We're, of course, being heard on weeknights now in Jenny Failla territory. My wife is from right out in Wapakoneta, Ohio. If you went straight down Route 75 a few miles, you'd find yourself in Dayton, the home of the legendary WHIO. Nick Roberts and the crew living big down there. Shout out to them for adding us to the lineup. And, of course, WGAU in Athens. Hey, girl. 1340-98.7 airing us weekdays, 9 p.m. It's hot. We love it. And, of course, WDBO in Orlando. My man, Keith. I am heading down to Orlando. That's Mother's Day. It's actually May 11th. It's a Sunday afternoon show for all the moms on Mother's Day. I'll be doing stand-up at the Plaza Live. And if you want to get tickets to that, go to foxacrossamerica.com and check it out. But right now, as we get back to the business of doing my real job, which is radio, I will pivot back to the president for 2 seconds. So Biden, okay, back out on the campaign trail. The drugs seem to work. They got him fired up. He's been out there speaking in semi-coherent language. A couple of misses over the weekend, one of which was he asked voters with a straight face to send him to Congress.
Have you ever had a checkup?
He has, but I don't know that they've actually shared the cognitive side of it with the rest of us. But Biden, over the weekend, you know, he tried to do the Sunday shows. This is where he got into trouble. And here he is talking to Pennsylvania. He's speaking with confidence because that's what you do when you're hyped up on B12 or whatever they've crushed and shot him up with. But you don't necessarily speak with accuracy. Here is Biden, clip 5.
In Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right. And I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Send me to Congress. Then he collects himself. I promise if we take back Congress, we'll restore Roe versus Wade as the law of the land.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Yeah, it wasn't that was not a completed pass. Send me to Congress. Okay. Send me to Congress.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
I don't doubt that he does. So a little bit of a miss there. And you understand he also got into some hot water with the man he was vice president for, Barack Obama, because he told MSNBC he's done more for black Americans than anyone since LBJ.
Don't be thick, all right?
Here it is, clip 4.
You promised black America that you'd have our back. Do you feel you have our backs?
I have your back, and I'm not more, as much as any president has in American history since Lyndon Johnson.
I've done, look, we've, black wealth has increased by 60%. We across the board. And I wish you ought to interview some of the black the business people here. The black leaders are here. And they told me about how they're moving. They have loans. They have direct payments that are being made by the government to keep them going.
You're not telling me the truth.
Black wealth has increased by 60% across the board?
You are so full of shit.
Does anyone have a stat on black wealth increase?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Yo, guys, that would be the lead on every single news site known to man. 60% increase in black wealth.
This guy will say anything.
And that's not unique to the moment we're living in. Joe Biden, and this is what you need to understand, is a, you know, pathological liar. He was forced out in the presidential election of 1988 for lying.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
I mean, yo! Every single thing was a lie. And then he ran into a plagiarism issue. If you,
one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a, I think it was a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him, and then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry, he reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That's the best guy to ever do it, Johnny Carson. And he is hitting Biden all the way back in 1987. He was known as a plagiarist and a fabulist and a pathological liar. That's who Joe Biden is. So when he gets on TV and says black wealth has increased by 60% across the board.
That is a fact check false.
Not even remote. It's not even increased 6%. Inflation has risen higher than wages as a result of this presidency. So there's no across the board world. But when he says something is panderingly stupid as I have the black people's back. Oh, really? Do you have the black people's back? When you let in so many illegal migrants that city schools are closed for the day to house the migrants? Do you have their back when you push for prolonged school closures that have caused the average school student to lose up to a year of academic gains because it was more important to placate the teachers' unions than it was to stick up for the kids? I mean, we are living in a golden age of stupid because of this president.
I love the poorly educated.
I mean, do you have the black voters back when you say we can't have voter ID because they're too stupid to get one? And this will be worse than Jim Crow?
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
Jim Crow on steroids. Jim Crow was an era where Democrats, Dixiecrats in the Deep South, were burning down houses to scare black people out of voting, attacking them at the polls and the Bull Connors and the mobs and the literacy clauses and the grandfather taxes and the poll taxes and everything in between they did to discourage black turnout, something the Democrats were heavily invested in the Jim Crow era. Biden wants you to believe that asking a black man to get a government ID in 2024 is more difficult than overcoming a violent mob. That is the opinion he pushes of black Americans.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
And when he starts to say things like, I've had it back more than any president than LBJ. I want to be clear about one thing. Barack Obama wasn't a good president for black Americans. Okay, the black unemployment rate got higher under Obama. You can tell me Obamacare gave people of all races a healthcare option if they couldn't pay for it out of pocket. but they did so at the expense of the taxpayer. And oh, by the way, by forcing people to buy coverage, meaning young kids, whether they needed it or not, you basically gave the healthcare companies a license to charge whatever they wanted. And lo and behold, healthcare premiums went up over 300% under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
So, you know, Barack Obama was consequentially bad for black Americans when you frame it that way. You know, you might say it was good because we finally elected a black president, but we didn't give the country credit for electing a black president. We didn't look at the cold, hard data that showed us Barack Obama won with the vast majority of white voters, meaning we were, as a country, collectively well beyond race. Doesn't mean racism doesn't exist. Doesn't not mean there's a small faction of that stupidity out there in our daily lives. It just means the vast majority of us aren't on board with it. Ergo, we were able to elect a black president with overwhelming support two times. But the Democrats used any opposition on a policy basis to Barack Obama as an opportunity to frame the whole entire country as a bunch of hateful bigots.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
100%, and that's what they did. Gee, what's so different about this president? That Republicans won't support the radical expansion of our government. I wonder what it is about him that they don't want him to give Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, $50 billion in cash assets. Like, things that were just leap off the page stupid that Barack Obama did. The Democrats tried claiming the only reason people were against them is because we had a black president.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally, but none more so than Biden. When Biden says he's helped black Americans, yo, inflation at a 40-year high under Joe Biden. Okay, the core price index is still 26% higher than it was when he took office, which means if you are a member, okay, of a struggling inner city where the crime rates are up, the prices are up, the schools were closed a lot longer than they should have been, and even in this moment, where the biggest issue in city schools is overcrowding, Biden has just added millions of children to the rolls. Okay, so teachers I know that I've talked about at length on this show that are city school teachers that came into the school year going, gosh, schools are so overcrowded now. You can't even give these kids an education. There's 40 of them. There's one of me. Well, guess what? That 40-to-1 ratio just got a lot higher because of all the people he let into the country.
Biden sucks.
For the black community, he certainly does. But you can't govern to individual races, because here's a newsflash that the Democrats keep forgetting. We all have the same needs. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or Asian. Doesn't matter. Muslim, anything in between, Latino. Doesn't matter. You need money. You want to feel safe spending it. That's what you need. You need money, and you need to feel safe spending it. That's what we need. All Americans, regardless of whether you're gay or straight or somewhere in between, doesn't matter. Okay, we all need the same stuff. But when you go out and try to market to us as individuals, it's a fantasy. And that's the reason it's so divisive, is it ultimately pits races against each other. We're supposed to be living in the Martin Luther King world where we judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Biden very much predicates his approach to politics on your skin color, because they get votes by marketing to people's identity instead of people's needs. This is Charles Barkley. He said so on CNN last week. Clip 3.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing black votes is they only care about black people every 4 years. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better. We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then finally, us black people are like, yo, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same. And that's why I think black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie, I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help black people and poor people. Because black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat.
I admire your honesty.
And that's the last point there that matters. Poor black people, poor white people, they're in the same boat. Poor Hispanic people, poor Asian people, poor Muslim people, all in the same boat. We all have the same primal needs. So when you go out and you try to market to voting blocks based on their, you know, racial identity, you're overlooking the human aspect to every one of these voters. But that's why Biden finds himself in such a bad spot, where he's got to make laughable claims like black wealth has increased by 60% across the board.
You were lying your ass off.
Black wealth is down, which is why black support is down. If it was up 60%, you're not looking at a president that's down 20 points with black male voters. Okay, you're not looking at a president that's calling his opposition white supremacists who want to deny black people the right to vote. Why is Biden saying that?
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Of course he is. And why is he desperate? Because his policies are screwing over the black community just like they're screwing up every other community, which is why Biden finds himself pandering to more racial division.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
It's the fastest part of your workday.
Wow, you're pretty quick for a big guy.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Opening up some serious missile silos on the creative side of town. This is talking to my buddy Dean Imperial. Dean and I started, if you guys have never heard him on the show, we've only been on once or twice. Dean and I was a guy I started out with in showbiz. I was handing out comedy passes on the corner of 45th Street here in Times Square. He was under the Marriott Marquis. I was next to the Howard Johnson's. And we were both handing out free comedy tickets about 20 years ago. And lo and behold, that's the same street corner where I wound up on the biggest billboard in all of Times Square, the Godzilla billboard, when they launched my TV show. It's a little bit of a mind-blowing event if you're me. But me and the Dean Man, we've always been, you know, showbiz prospectors working on scripts and dumb movie ideas and, you know, things we could pitch people and everything in between. And we've certainly gone our own ways now. He's a writer and writes for TV, and I have my own TV show, my own radio show. But from time to time, we're able to get together behind the scenes and work on maybe a prank or something silly you might wind up seeing on social media. And we got a good one we are sitting on right now.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
I don't know that it's an Antoine Dobson level of good, but I think it's going to be a good time nonetheless. And I was laughing during the commercial break and reminded of the fact that you live in a country where you have the ability to go do this stuff. Whatever you're doing with your life today, you might have just got dumped. You might have got laid off. If you work at Deadspin, you definitely got laid off, because we just got a memo that they laid off their whole entire staff, which I'm not happy about. Never want to hear of anybody losing their job. But if I do remember correctly, Deadspin was the group that tried to ruin the life of a child who wore a Native American headdress to a Kansas City Chiefs game. They first accused him of wearing blackface. Then they accused him of wearing Native American face. But it turned out the kid was part Native American. But bigger than all of that is, it was an 11-year-old kid going to a football game. There should be better things to focus on than what an 11-year-old kid wears to a football game.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
So maybe another teachable moment when it comes to fighting the wrong battles. And if we're going to be honest, I mean, even if you didn't like this kid, it was nice to see someone pretending to be a chief besides Elizabeth Warren. But the fact remains, Deadspin, probably sued by this family, and has ultimately been forced to lay off. And they were a group that started out by covering sports and wound up being culture warriors for the woke left.
Everything woke turns to
including Deadspin. There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Fired up to talk to this next guest. She is a multimedia superstar, the host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick. She's, of course, a Fox News contributor. Tommy Lahren, back in the house. The crowd goes wild. Hey, girl.
Oh, great to talk to you as always. I'm glad that you chose me as your post-Oscars guest, knowing, obviously, that I'm down with the young folk and that Hollywood also loves me. So I feel like it's very fitting that you had me on for post-Oscars coverage.
Yeah, anyone can get Barbie, but only we can get Nazi Barbie, right?
Oh, thank you. And you probably should preface that for your audience that doesn't know that is a cruel nickname that people have called me. Maybe you want to throw that in there, Jimmy.
Of course. I wanted to make you clean it up since you put me in harm's way a lot on the air with my outfits and everything else. I just thought I owed you one. That's all. Nice to hear your voice. But one quick thing that just happened, by the way. While we were waiting to get you on the line, we were just reading that Deadspin laid off their whole staff. I'm never happy to see anybody get laid off, but this might be a workaround to that lawsuit that was filed during the football season. Do you remember where they went after the 11-year-old kid for dressing like a Native American at a Chiefs game?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and it was a problematic. You know, everything is problematic. Everything's a microaggression, even if you're just tanning your face in team colors. Oh, yes, I remember it vividly.
Yeah, and it's what's so fascinating, and maybe this is a teachable moment for people who don't get it already, okay, is when you have time to devote hours of your life to what an 11-year-old kid you've never met before wore to a football game, like you're actually living the life of privilege you claim to be against. You know what I'm saying? Like, people struggling to make ends meet are not going, but more importantly, there's an 11-year-old at a Chiefs game.
Well, I think that there are some people out there, miserable liberal types, who seek things to be offended by, and even if they're not actually offended by them, they just try to look for a way to possibly make people feel offended, even if they weren't initially offended, because they have nothing else to do. And I think that's the case for a lot of sports media. I think a lot of the folks that have never played a sport, who only write about sports, they have to come up with some kind of an offended angle, because otherwise they don't have a place in the game. They don't have a place in journalism, because everybody else that's doing sportscasting and sports journalism is a former athlete. So what do you do to try to be competitive with those folks, like the Tony Romos of the world? Oh, I know. You pick out a random kid and you find a way to make everyone feel offended by something they should never be offended by, because otherwise, what is your claim to fame? What is your ability to discuss sports if not for finding the liberal outrage angle?
That's so true. They're like cultural arsonists. They go light a fire so they can show everybody how enlightened they are. You know, hey, we'll handle the scourge of 11-year-old Chiefs fans to get this country back under control. But I think you might have summed it up best in saying they're probably not even angry. Like, do you feel like in a lot of ways, because people say this about comedy a lot, I don't believe people are as offended by comedians so much as they just know there's attention to be gained from saying they're offended. Do you see that a lot?
Of course. And I think that that's the easiest thing to be, is offended. And the faux outrage and, oh, you've hurt my feelings, or, oh, you said the wrong word. You weren't politically correct. And I think that if you have time, to your point, if you have time to really worry about the words that people are using, and they should use this word instead of that word, and this person, you know, looked this way instead of looking that way, I think that you have an incredible amount of privilege and an unhealthy amount of time on your hands, because most people are going about their business. So if you find time to be outraged by things that probably shouldn't outrage you, that is, to me, the ultimate privilege. It is liberal privilege that I've experienced just watching as an observer of media.
Very fair. Tommy Lahren is on the line. The host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick. She's all over the Fox News channel. I got to tell you, so listen to this. You know, we keep making this broken promise that you're coming on my TV show, and you are, so stop it. But Hannity announced, your good friend Sean Hannity, you're on a show all the time. He announced on his show Friday night that he's coming on my show for the first time this week. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing. He just made the announcement. When are you and me going to get the kind of heat where we can just declare we're going on other people's shows? Because I don't feel like I'm there yet. Do you?
Well, I think I could just declare right now that I'm going to be on your show, and maybe that'll work. I don't know. I think if we get enough people behind it. But, you know, you and I, we don't have Sean Hannity status.
No, we don't.
I don't know if we have that status yet. But, you know, maybe someday we can just make those declarations. And maybe I can just declare next year I'm going to win an Oscar. And maybe, you know, maybe the bar will be that low.
Okay. Well, let's get into that, because that was, I think, some of the original purpose of this get together. When you looked at the Oscars last night, I thought they tried, at least for a moment there, I thought they were going to be a little apolitical. You know, Kimmel wind up going after Trump. But I wanted to ask you this. Do you think Jimmy Kimmel goes after Trump it's almost like protection money that he's paying to the mob because of the things he's done in the past to offend them when it comes to blackface and everything else?
Well, with the Kimmel thing, I just think he's so unfunny that I think he has to be political and he has to go after Trump because I don't think he has anything else. And I don't know about you, Jimmy, but I didn't actually watch the Oscars. I watched clips of the Oscars on social media like everybody else. I don't know a lot of people anymore who just sit down and watch the Oscars.
Yeah.
I think we wait for certain moments to come out and then we discuss them because to sit there and watch these liberal elites pat themselves on the back for an hour and a half. I just heard on the radio their gift bags worth almost $200,000, you know, as they talk about the struggle of the little people. I just can't with that.
Nothing screams inequality like a $225,000 swag bag, you know. But it's true. That's a great point. We're talking to Tommy Lahren. But that's why I think, you know, the reason people resent lectures from Hollywood is a lot of what you just talked about. And there's just also the reality that, you know, Hollywood actors are famous because they did hit the genetic lottery and the words are written for them. And no one ever wanted their point of view. But do you think they're starting to get that message because they've been more political in the past than they were last night? Or do you think we're just waiting for Trump to get back into office and they're going to go right back to where they were?
Well, I think that Trump, it really enraged them because they knew their lives were better, but they had to, again, it's like that they have to be oppressed, even though they're the most privileged people in the country, maybe in the world. They had to feel oppressed by something, so Trump was their oppressor. Mm-hmm. But now that things are just crap for everybody, like, what are they going to talk about? How bad Joe is doing? They're not going to do that. So what do they do? I mean, they've got to be a little less political leading up to the election, but they're still with some of that, the pro-Palestinian, we're all going to stand in a fancy room with our gift bags and talk about a ceasefire as if, you know, the world is looking to them to dictate their diplomatic policy. I don't think so.
It's a great point. Talking to Tommy Lahren. Social media does. It needs a button called Who Asked You? You know what I'm saying? Just like nobody cares.
Well, it needs that. And also, it's like everybody is entitled to their opinion. And people with platforms, they are allowed to have an opinion and they're allowed to broadcast their opinion. I think it's just when they stand up there, like they're so self-righteous, like they've really contributed something to the world, you know, beyond just entertainment at the box office. I think that that's, it's interesting. Have an opinion all you want, but to act like you feel the pain of people is something a little different.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true. Especially someone sitting up there in a dress that cost $250,000 talking about, like, I know what you're going through. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that you do. So I think that's a good point too, Tommy Lahren. But that being said, as we look out at the world, there was one other thing I needed your take on when you talk about performances. I'm sure you got to this on Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick, but do you believe they shot Biden up at the State of the Union? Because I thought they damn near almost killed the man. He was so hopped up on stuff.
Yeah, it was something. I'm not sure what it was. And, you know, anybody can be sharp for an hour. Anybody can perform for an hour. But it's not fooling anybody to that point. And, you know, I know we're probably going to talk about this as well, but him blurting out like the illegal to me, it's like, oh, you just said what you actually feel. Like normally you have to dance around and revere these people. Like they're these just migrant dreamers, undocumented, you know, people of not here and the newcomers. And then when you're actually just angry and you want to, you know, say something uncoached, you blurt out illegal. So for me, the whole thing is performance for Joe. I want to know what Joe actually thinks, and it would probably startle and terrify most of us.
That's pretty funny. I don't know the answer to that. It's so crazy. But the thing about apologizing, and now the White House is saying they didn't apologize. He just corrected himself. But what's the difference between a correction and an apology? You're admitting that you think it was wrong to say illegal, no?
Well, and again, I don't think that he actually is apologizing for saying illegal. I think that he had to do that because, you know, everybody else, going back to the faux outrage, it's like, oh, how dare you use the correct term that the right uses that actually exposes the crime crisis that we're experiencing and the invasion at our southern border, because when you say the word illegal, then you're proving our point that you too agree that there are millions of people who have no legal right to be here. So you can't say that because then you're kind of like pulling back the curtain on this whole farce that they've been running for 3.5 years. So that's why they're upset at that word, not because it offends the people coming in. Oh, please, give me a break.
Yeah, they don't care. They're not even listening. They don't care. The only words they're hearing, okay, are the words that allow them into the country. Like, you're here. Welcome. Come on in. You know, because we're not securing the border. Like, Obama, like, in theory, Obama's border policy, okay, he would be a right-wing strongman in the eyes of the modern Democratic Party, because he was deporting people, and he was also saying people who come here illegally should be put in the back of the line and forced to earn citizenship. And that's definitely not the case now. Did you ever think, Tommy Lahren, there would be a day where you missed an Obama White House?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think that the Democrat position on immigration has ever changed. I think that their motives and their means to an end have just changed. When Obama was president, they didn't have mail-in votes.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, you know, this vast voting, you know, system that they have now that they exploited during COVID. So Obama didn't have, you know, a lot of reason to let in millions of people. Mm-hmm. Joe and Democrats have a reason now to let in millions of people because they want to get them voting. And so that will be the next step, as I've maintained. They want to give these people amnesty. They want to get them voting. They want to send them mail-in ballots. That has been the goal. Obama, you know, he didn't need that at that time. Democrats now, they know they need it.
I mean, that is nuts, Tommy. Last but not least, because it's, you know, they're pretty upfront about that in terms of how they're changing voting demographics in places like Texas. You know, we were labeled conspiracy theorists for saying that a year ago or even 2 years ago. Now they just flat out admit it. So at least to their credit, they're being honest about this plan. But one thing I wanted to throw at you before I let you go. How are you handling emotionally the reality that your girl Nikki Haley's out of the race?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried at all about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's already found a position on a board somewhere.
Oh,
but
no.
I just hope I never have to listen to her again in the context of the Republican Party. I really am hopeful that Donald Trump is not going to make her a running mate or a VP pick. Uh-huh. I think that that would be disastrous, and uh-huh. I'm hoping that we are rid of her. But you never know. Crazier things have happened. So I'm not going to say anything yet. I'm just hoping that we are done with all that is Nikki Haley.
So does this mean you won't agree to appear on her show if she gets a show on OutKick?
I don't think she'd ever get a show on OutKick. MSNBC, CNN, much more likely. I think she should start a podcast with Liz Cheney, and I think that would be a match made in heaven.
Oh, no. Oh, I love it. Tommy, you're the best. We'll talk back channel off the air, but I always love having you on the show. Thanks for classing the place up.
Oh, yes, and I will be on your show eventually. Sometime I will declare it, and sometime I'm just going to bust in.
No, that's how it works.
We all record that, I'm just going to be there.
Apparently that is how it works, because the people who come on my show just make declarations and show up. That's pretty much how Fox Talent winds up on the show, from what I've been told. So I'll message you back channel. I'll tell you how to do this, but good stuff.
All right.
Thanks, baby.
Looking
the best.
Forward to it.
Thank you. The great Tommy Lahren, me too. Tommy's a good egg. She's not a huge fan. Not a huge fan of Nikki Haley. I'm not going to lie. That's why I was joking with her about that. But it is a very dumb time to be alive. That's, you know, I should not be smart enough to host a nationally syndicated talk show, okay, let alone a Saturday night TV show. But when you look around at the state of the country right now, okay, the bar's been lowered.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
He's the most talented man on the radio, but he needs your help.
We all know somewhere underneath all of that bright color, there's a man who's not right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth here on Fox Across America. Jimmy Failla. If you missed Fox News Saturday Night over the weekend, you can see all of those clips at foxacrossamerica.com. That's also where you can get tickets to see me live. The Everybody Calm Down Tour, going back out on the road in 2 weeks, and it's going to be nuts. But in the meantime, a quick tip of the cap to all of the new stations airing this fine show. WOKV in Jacksonville. Hey, girl. HIO in Dayton. WGAU down in Athens, what it is. And, of course, WDBO in Orlando. And we even got a fancy new time slot courtesy of Levi May and the KRMG folks down in Tulsa. How about it? Cox Media. Take a bow, girlfriend. Sure know how to make me feel special. I really do appreciate the growth of my show and my TV show, not as a entertainer or a talk show host, but as an American. I'm good for the country. Like, I mean that. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time, but I'm good for the country because I'm harmless, and I want to create a forum where everybody is welcome to exchange ideas, just the way we used to, you know, back when we didn't have social media. You know, there was a time in this country where we could agree to disagree. You'd be like, I'm a Republican, my buddy's a Democrat, but deep down, we know these politicians are just in it for themselves. Okay, that hasn't changed. Except because of social media and the era of incentivized conflict, most people are like, hey, screw you. I'm with this party who's only in it for themselves. And the buddy's like, no, screw you. I'm with these people who are only in it for themselves. I mean, that's politics in a nutshell. That's why I'm trying to be the one guy with this incredible moment I have right now in terms of TV and radio and cultural relevance that's allowing you to stand behind the magician. Politics is pro wrestling. When you go to a pro wrestling match, you're in the parking lot after the match. The Ultimate Warriors fans are in a fight with the Macho Man's fans. They see each other in the parking lot. They call each other names.
You're a liar.
Okay, and the wrestling fans get into fights. That's how it works.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
But you understand, while the Ultimate Warriors fans are fighting the Macho Man's fans, or the Macho Man's fans are fighting Hulk Hogan's fans, okay, the wrestlers are all going to Hooters together.
I love it when you talk dirty.
But that's what's going on, and that's 85% of Washington. We're killing each other over political differences, while the politicians who create that divide are hanging out in the background.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Well, it's specifically how Washington will do you. And the only way that culture is ever going to change is if our culture changes. So I'm not here trying to outshout the other conservative hosts. I'm not trying to outwit the two or three liberal hosts that have standing in talk radio. I can't even name them because liberal talk radio is miserable. Like, it's excruciating. Like, they had, if you remember, an all-liberal station. It was called Air America.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
Yeah, it was off the air in like a half hour. It was terrible, horribly mismanaged, but mostly because people didn't want to listen to their grievance whining all day. You know, people want to be entertained. That's why the late, great Rush Limbaugh was so good. He was brilliant, but he was an entertainer at his core and made for good company. And that's all we're ever trying to be. So if you completed your maiden voyage on this show, congratulate you. You lasted longer than most people do, but the show is over. Pay up, get out. We're back here tomorrow. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.